Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Canto 9, Chapter 9, and we'll do texts 13 and 14. Text 13. Bashmi Bhutanga Sangena Svaryata Sagarat Majaha Kimpuna Swadhaya Devim Sevante Ye Drita Vrataha. Translation. Simply by having water from the Ganges come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagara Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Therefore, what is to be said of a devotee who worshipped Mother Ganges faithfully with a determined vow? One can only imagine the benefit that accrues to such a devotee. Text 14. Naye tat param ascharyam svardunyaya ihoditam anantacharanam boja prasutaya bhavachichi daha. Naye tat param ascharyam svardunyaya ihoditam anantacharanam boja prasutaya bhavachidaha. Na, not. He, indeed. Etat, this. Param, ultimate. Ascharyam, wonderful thing. Svardanya, of the water of the Ganges. Yat, which. Iha, herewith. Uditam, has been described. Ananta, of the Supreme Lord. Charana Amboja, from the lotus of the feet. Prasutaya, of that which emanates. Bhavachidaha, which can liberate from material bondage. Okay, translation and purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. Purport. It has actually been seen that anyone who regularly worships Mother Ganges simply by bathing in her water keeps very good health and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the water of the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in all Vedic Shastras, and one who takes to this path will certainly be completely freed from all sinful reactions. The practical example of this is that the sons of Maharaj Sagara went to the heavenly planets when water from the Ganges merely touched the ashes of their burnt bodies. We can repeat the translation. Because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. Nama ganatmadandasya ganandina salakaya chaksurlan militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jena bhutale svayavrupakadamayam dadati svapatandikam vanchakopa tadubhischa kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today we get more details today. This is the description we've been talking about every day now, just by the water of the Ganges, just by the drops of the water of the Ganges. On their ashes, they went to the heavenly planets. So Prabhupada over and over again describes the glories of the Ganges. I was with Srila Prabhupada in, I think it was March 1973. It was the first time I went with Prabhupada to Mayapur, the land in Mayapur. Dharmatma Prabhu was just telling me in class, listening to Nectar Devotion Series, Prabhupada's classes during Kartik month. Prabhupada said something. He said, I actually didn't do anything until I was 70 years old. This is how a devotee thinks. Then I became active. Imagine, his whole life, devotee. All he did was serve Krishna his whole life. He said he remembered, he told me, he said, I remember sitting in my sister's lap. He said, I think I was about 6 months old. So that was the first memory he told us about. He said, about 6 months old. My father died, I was three. I have no memory of him. None at all. So Prabhupada's memory was very sharp. And he said, there wasn't ever a moment that he didn't remember Krishna. He said this in a letter one of his disciples wrote him, questioning, was he a sadhana siddhi, sadhana bhakta, or is he nitya siddha? So Prabhupada answered in his very humble way. He said, well, it doesn't matter one way or the other, nitya siddha, sadhana siddha. He said, the fact is, there wasn't a moment, he said, that I didn't remember Krishna. So this person, here we see the Ganga. Like I said, Prabhupada took us there. There's one, actually one of my very favorite photos. There's Prabhupada kneeling, squatting, right at the Ganges there at Mayapur, and I'm next to him, we're both squatting there, and Prabhupada just took the water three times. So what is Prabhupada doing? Is he purifying himself? Is he setting an example? He mentions previously, it's stated, his being there, he's relieving the Ganga of all the sinful activities. This was Mother Ganga's request. I'll come down, but I have to go through one powerful man, and my sins have to be relieved by pure devotees. So I was speaking about this the other day. This was Prabhupada. Everywhere he went, he was purifying. So we can go to the Ganga. It says right here, Prabhupada says in the purport, the effect of bathing in the water. He says it keeps very good health. I've actually seen this. Staying by the Ganga for a month, many years ago, it was in Rishikesh area. But every day I would go in the Ganga just to chant Gayatri. And this was around October, so getting a little chilly. But I, in India, as I said, health was always a difficulty. But I was very healthy there by the Ganga. I felt so invigorated, so much energy. So Prabhupada describes, and we said this as well, Prajumna once said to me, there's three principles. There's so many principles, but in this category, he said, there's three principles in Krishna consciousness. He says, you have the deities, you have Shastra, and you have the pure devotee. There's only one active principle. When we talk about activity, there's one active principle, the pure devotee, the pure devotee spiritual master. Otherwise, we're all looking at the deities. We're all looking, offering obeisances, offering dandavat, saying prayers. But we see with different vision. According to our realization, we're observing the deity. And as all you have to do is go on, if you go on social media, you'll see so many people reading Prabhupada's books, but so many different conclusions. We're all reading the same words, sometimes completely the opposite. We see this within our society, arguments over things that have completely opposite understandings. So that means the books are also passive. You need someone to explain them. It's so interesting, Prabhupada used that word, active. He became that active principle. He explained them. He became the guru. Without the guru telling you what to do, it's all just your mental speculation. Prabhupada said, a devotee once asked him about initiation. He said, Lord Chaitanya doesn't say anything about taking diksha. So Prabhupada said, become humbler than a blade of grass. He said, that's what that means. He said, when Lord Chaitanya says to become humbler than a blade of grass, he says, that means to accept initiation. Because otherwise, where is the humility? Where's the surrender? Unless one's taking those instructions, we just decide what we want to do. This is the principle in initiation. It meant sometimes I'll have devotees, they'll come up to me and they'll ask me advice about their service. Can I do, like, do you think I can do this? You think I can do, you know, I would like to do this, but I'm doing this. And I said, do you have a spiritual master? I said, well, ask him. So that's his service, to give instruction. But maybe we don't want to ask him because we know what the instruction will be. And so we go looking for the person who will validate what we want to do. Yeah? Right, Moksha? That's what we do. But go to the guru, ask him. Oh, he's too busy. No, this is our business. This is what Prabhupada did. He gave us instructions. I was saying, you know, we make such a big issue. Four regulative principles. Is all that means is you're a human. No big excitement. I'm following four regulative principles. It means we've arrived at the human platform. That's all. Instead of animals, which do whatever they want, a human, we follow moral principles. So what is it Prabhupada wants? He expects we'll follow these principles. We've taken the vow. He doesn't ask. Doesn't ask if you're chanting your rounds. He expects these things are going on. But is what he understands what you're doing, what your activity is. This is what the guru sees. This is what he appreciates, that activity. Imagine, it's just so funny, Prabhupada saying, I didn't do anything until I was 70. Because he sees preaching, like his spiritual master said, preaching is life. Told you, when we went to Mayapur, everywhere I went was the first time. And we're riding along Bhaktisiddhanta Marg. Prabhupada had the driver stop in front of the birthplace, huh? The Janmastan of Lord Chaitanya. He had the car stop there. And right there, where the temple is, up at the front, there's a Pushpa Samadhi, is it? Bhakti Vinod Thakur is there in the front. So this was my first time. But every time it happened, Prabhupada say, stop the car. And he'd sit in the back seat, saying his obeisances to his spiritual master. And then he'd say, okay. So he didn't go in. He said he didn't go in. He said because they've treated Bhakti Vinod Thakur like a gatekeeper, just to draw people in. But rather than giving him a glorious temple samadhi, they put him at the gate. So Prabhupada didn't care for this. So he would, and then he would go to his center, ISKCON center. That time where, well, in the beginning there was nothing, just the rooms Prabhupada stayed in. There in Mayapur. And he said, later on, at the Lotus Building, he would stand, so often he would chant his rounds on the veranda. And he would walk around, he would stand on one side, and I always see him looking. He was always looking out, and there was nothing but rice paddies all around. There was just rice paddies everywhere. But Prabhupada was always looking. Where he was looking is where the temple is. That's where he was looking, where the temple was going. I don't know if you saw the temple, but he was looking there. And he said, this place, ISKCON Center, he said, this is more important. He said, because there, he said, he pointed to the birthplace. He said, that's Janmastan. This was the birthplace. But here, he said, is Karmastan. He said, here is the works of Lord Chaitanya. We're carrying out his work. So everywhere we go, whether it's here in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada said, I brought all the holy places here. Because when Prabhupada was here, some of us, we would also like to go around here and there, visiting so many wonderful temples and deities. So one day, Tamal Krishna, ring the bell. If you don't answer the bell, something's wrong. Because when you're with Prabhupada, you're with Prabhupada 24 hours a day. That was the requirement. But sometimes, if you saw a vacancy, you might go off. So anyway, he said, where were you? He said, oh, I went to chant by the Krishna Balaram tree. Now imagine, this is 1976. So between here and the Krishna Balaram tree, it's very peaceful, quiet, peacocks, parrots. You know, Prabhupada said, told him, he said, you don't have to go anywhere. He said, I brought all the holy places here in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. One day in Calcutta, the temple in Calcutta is still the same temple. When I first went there in 1973, it was at Albert Road Temple, big veranda in front of the temple room and in front of Prabhupada's rooms. Every morning, Prabhupada during Mangal Arati, he would just walk out and he would stand at the back behind everyone. He didn't care anyone even knew he was there. He would stand and see the deities, attend Mangal Arati, chant. So one morning he goes out and he taps on Kirti Raj's shoulder. He turns to Prabhupada. He says, where were you yesterday? Prabhupada sees everything. Prabhupada saw everything you do. He knew everything you were thinking. If he wanted anything. So he went right to him. He already knew.
But he said, "Where were you yesterday?"
Kirtiraj had the perfect answer. "Prabhupada, I was at your house, your birthplace. I went to Mangalartik there." Prabhupada said, "You come here to Mangalartik. This is our temple. This is Prabhupada's place." Again, not where he was born, but his activities. Prabhupada was interested in his activities, and he's interested in our activities. What are you doing? What are you doing for Krishna? What are you doing for Prabhupada? "Hey, I chanted my rounds." Good for you. He had an argument once with one of his very early disciples. I'm told this. He wanted him to remain in India, such an important place. Prabhupada knew India was going to explode in the future. Not while he was here. Almost nothing. He said, he would ask gentlemen, he would ask the Matajis, "You have 5 sons. Give me 1 son. Couldn't give 1 son. So anxious for their material advancement. They think, "Oh, there goes 50 lakhs a year I give my son to you." You know, 1 son Prabhupada wanted. He sees what we do. He becomes pleased by our assisting him. So this devotee was so frustrated in India because you can't preach. You can't preach to Indians. They know everything. They know everyone. He said, one of the first life member houses I went to with Prabhupada, they took us to their deity room. They didn't know deities, but a lot of pictures. So they had Krishna, Mother Yasoda, Krishna, you know, Gopal. They had Lord Shiva, they had Lord Brahma, and over on the side they had Jesus Christ, because they didn't want to miss anything, you know, just in case. Prabhupada just wants to see the service we do to help him push on Krishna consciousness. So this devotee, he was so frustrated, he said, "I want to preach like everybody, I want to distribute books, it's booming." Prabhupada said, "I need you to stay here." This went back and forth. Prabhupada said, "Stay here." He said, "No, I want to go to America." He joined 67. They had a different relationship, some of these devotees. I couldn't understand arguing with Prabhupada. For me, it was impossible. But he was. And Prabhupada facilitated it, but he became more angry. So finally, at the end, he just yelled. He said, "Chant your 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and do any damn thing you want." This is the pure devotee. Huh? He used those words. He said that to me once in a much more playful way. When he said, "I have finished my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I want." This is Prabhupada talking to one of his young brahmachari, trying to enthuse him to chant. Huh? But that's it. That's the vow we take. We don't take a vow, chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and serve you 24 hours a day. It has to come voluntarily. It has to come from the heart. Prabhupada told me, service means love. You can say, I love seeing the deities, I love Prabhupada so much, I'm so... What do you do? That was Prabhupada's formula. Service means love. So we can say so many wonderful things. But Prabhupada was the just do it person. Like I say, way before Nike, Prabhupada would say, "Just do it." Someone would come in the room with big, big ideas. He'd say, "Do it." He wanted to see the activity, the service. And that's what he recognized. He said when in Hawaii, when one of his devotees had left, taken funds, closed the temple,
abandoned Tulsi Devi. Prabhupada was furious. He was writing letters. How can you leave Tulsi Devi? How can you leave the deity? How can these things go on? 3 years later, he's finally sitting in front of him. It took $50,000 or so. Bought a farm. He's sitting right in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at him after 3 years of not seeing this devotee who had opened up temples for him. He said, "What offense have I committed that made you go?" He said, "What have I done? What offense have I made that you've gone away?" He said, "What can I do so that you can come back?" This is what Prabhupada saw. He saw what you did to push on the Krishna consciousness movement, what you did to help him. He didn't ask anything about what had happened. If he'd taken some money, why? He said, "What did I do? I must have done something that caused you to leave." So Prabhupada became so grateful. He had such gratitude. "We just did some service to help him." Everything was that important. And then we come to these places. Every year, Prabhupada said, "Come." This Kartik festival was the nicest one for me. Was the best Kartik festival I've been to since 1972 when I was with Prabhupada. Then I didn't know. But it was just so wonderful to be here with everyone. Hearing from God brothers, God sisters, so many devotees. This is what you see. The process works. Seeing others after 40, 45, 50 years. And Prabhupada said, the process works. And if it's not working, see what it is you're not doing. He said, it's a science. And the process is a science. We can stop here today. Anyone has any questions? Yeah, this is a little early. Do you have any questions or comments? Shooty.
You were talking about the person wondering where they should go and you're telling them to ask the spiritual master. But you might experience somewhat of what I think about the problem I'm going is I leave the Green Beach and they say, "Well, this is your hometown, you're deserting us." And then they say in South Africa, "You have to stay here because Prabhupada sent you here." And then in Vrindavan they say, "You can't leave because this is your spiritual home." So it's all of us have some validity. But you seem to get that, and it seems we just travel to all the places, or
well, again, you know, when we were young, neither did we write Prabhupada to find out what to do. Prabhupada set up a system of management, of course, from the GBC to the temple president, temple commanders, temple treasurers. So we followed in that way. So that's our business. If we're struggling, the spiritual master is there. You know, that's his business. As far as where we go, again, that's the authorities and yourself. Just like you now, you know what to do in your life. You don't need someone guiding you in that way, you know. Because wherever you go, you're going to preach. It's what you do. And that's what's needed at this time. This is all of our business. Prabhupada said, "I didn't do anything till I was 70. I'm 68. So we still have a lifetime ahead of us if we take it that way. If we take it seriously. And from what I've seen, if one makes the endeavor, Prabhupada certainly empowers his disciples to preach. It's what he's always done. You know, there's a whole world out there, places to go to give Krishna consciousness in some way, some form. This is how he's pleased. He's pleased you develop your love of Krishna. So how do we develop our love of Krishna?
giving Krishna to others is the surest, easiest way, quickest way. So that's our business. Anyone? Mataji, Hare Krishna. Shuri, over.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I'm from Anvil, Vincent, Ontario, British week. I've been a devotee for many years, as well, about 34 years. And I have a daughter, she's Vishnu Priya. And she's born on a Barai Galaxy. A child born on a Barai Galaxy is a liberated child. Am I right, Guru Maharaj?
What happened? I missed that.
What? My daughter, yes. She's a preacher, but she's not in Krishna conscious. Under different guru from Hawaii, he's a wife. Recently,
Siddha.
When she came back,
Siddha Swarup,
a lot of money for the preaching. Normally, what they do, they take the money and help the poor in India. They don't use it for themselves, but for Krishna. They believe in demigods, they respect demigods. So how can she divert her mind to Krishna conscious? This, I think, only our Guru Maharaj can do.
Your part is just as you're doing, be happy devotee. For all of us, children, of course she's adult, your best preaching is to live as a devotee. Within families, there's no preaching. Usually there's resentment. You try to preach to anyone in your family. I spent many years visiting my family, my mother, my sisters. I never tried to say anything to them. They were all devout Catholics. And that was fine for them. I didn't, you know, it was their business. They were all vegetarian anyway because you have to be eventually in your life, it seems, you know. But this is just my personal opinion. She's doing very nicely. Just have her chant Hare Krishna and...
Really, she knows so many mantras.
Yeah.
That was amazing when she came to my house. I was so sick having high blood pressure. And she prayed for me. Nice. They are followers.
She'll be fine.
Yeah, she's really very active. When she was a little girl, she would walk alone in the dark until the kitchen. Our Guru Maharaj went to our house. I have served my Guru Maharaj. Cooked for him all the way without sleeping. Yeah, Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Vinata Vijendra Maharaj, the temple president of Malaysia.
So, my son, my stepson, he was 3 years old. He would always dance in front of Prabhupada, give him garlands, dance. Prabhupada said he was a great dancer, a devotee dancer in his last life. Since that time, some of the dancing has stopped for many, many years. But Krishna makes all arrangements for his followers. The time will come, whether it's you, your daughter, my son, your son, whoever it is, if they're devotees and they're straying away this way, that way, he adjusts things so we can move on. Panchagoda Prabhu. The Ganges.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Mata. Yeah. No, that's not her understanding. But from my vision, I was drinking water there up at Dave Prayag area, but I couldn't say I would do it here, you know. You have to have that level of purity to see it, I guess, to understand it. But it's certainly not contaminated. It's never contaminated. But as Prabhupada said, he would take it on his head. Where does it fall? Did you go up to Gamukh? Yeah, but I mean, that's where we see it coming from, right? That's the first place we can see it from, right through the mountain, the rock there, coming there. That's the most I've seen. What have you seen? Yes. But it's, yes, it's, I mean, it is. It's always pure, Ignandis. Hare Krishna. He is from Trinidad, Prabhu here. Very.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One little question is that Srila Prabhupada in many lectures said that we should take full advantage of this movement. It's like an open invitation.
Yes.
And it's like very relaxing. How I want to understand how to be a part of this active movement and how to take full advantage of the situation.
Oh, you're asking how to... It's very simple. Right here, you just ask Panchagoda what service you can do. It'll immediately give you something to do and you're connected. I've been coming to Vrindavan off and on for some years. But I'll admit, I said I had a very good time in Kartik this year because I actually did something other than just stand around and watch everyone. I tried to help. I tried to help and do some service for a few hours a day. And it became very enlivening. You know. So our nectar comes from service. Always say, when we were with Prabhupada, it was the most nectar. But it was very difficult. Being with Prabhupada was very wonderful. But every day, you're with a pure devotee. But it was ecstasy because you're serving directly. You could see direct service. We're all serving directly, Guru and Krishna. All these buildings and all, they're just here to facilitate. Other people, they're here to facilitate. But the service is going on directly to Guru and Krishna. And the more we understand that, the more blissful you become, the happier you are, because you're always with your spiritual master. Like I said, I would massage him, but I feel more connected now at this moment than I did then because I was all over the place. We have to become focused. It's not just the activities of the body. It's your consciousness has to be there. I'm doing service. I'm serving Krishna, serving my guru. We feel satisfaction. We need to become active. If we're not active, we're there at the human platform following four regulative principles. It's very good. At least we won't be part of destroying society. But if we want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, then service is required. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you for your lucky classes as usual. Ramji, you also just mentioned the class now and in one of the previous classes also, this kind of theme was touched upon that how we as individuals, devotees within the society, should be a bit more proactive in pushing the movement further. So my question is that, what would you say what should each of us do to kind of develop that mentality rather than just seeing this as a place to, you know, not just take shelter but also enjoy and be comfortable and have your needs provided for. So how should we get out of our...
How should we...
I was going to say comfort zone, but shell, and that the bubble of that sort of mentality. So that we can, do something.
How do we get out of that mental of just sitting to do something active? I don't know. Panchagoda, engage this. Devotee in service. No, we have to seek. Then you're okay. Well, that's it. We chant. We chant, we're asking for service. It's what we're doing. It's so amazing that we can be so disconnected from the very thing that we do all the time. You know, we go through the motions. That's what's called ritual. You're just doing things without any consciousness. I always use the example at the Ukraine festival when everyone was on the stage. That means like a dozen sannyasi gurus are all up on the stage chanting, and just 5,000 people there. And so in the morning, they're doing the japa. So there was a Mataji who wanted to give bottles of water to everyone sitting there. So she asked one of the Prabhus, Brahmachari, he was sitting by the stage, and he just went, "I'm chanting my rounds, leave me alone." In other words, he just showed her his bead bag. "I'm chanting my 16 rounds." So all she was asking was spend a minute giving these people a bottle of water. But he said, "I'm chanting my rounds, leave me alone." But what are we chanting for? What's the point of all our chanting? So she looked at me and I said, "Give them to them. Just give it, no big deal. Just..." It's a woman in a sari giving. So she did it. So she got the service. She was very happy, very delighted. She got to serve her spiritual master personally, directly, along with so many others. Get out of our comfort zone is, you have to pay attention to what you're doing. You're shaking your head. Am I on the wrong track here? Yes?
Yeah, that's nice. I was reading more about contributing to Prabhupada's mission so that we can further the mission. I understand that, you know, we take opportunities for services as and when they come, but more about coming out of our comfort zone so that we can push the movement forward. Maybe that means preaching.
Maybe it's not out of your comfort zone. I mean, I'm very comfortable doing what I'm doing. You have to make it your comfort zone.
But I mean, like some people, they just carry on, they just chant and have the prasad, they're just comfortable.
That's okay.
That's okay.
For them, that's okay. But if it's not okay for you, it's not okay. In other words, everyone is on their own path. Prabhupada says one performs Krishna consciousness according to their capacity. So we don't go trying to decide what people's capacity is. As Nanda Kumar is over and over again, he keeps posting on there now. Nanda Kumar was very... he would say to Prabhupada many times, "This person's not doing this, this person's doing this wrong, this person..." But Prabhupada said, our business, rules and regulations are for ourselves. So we really don't need... We need to preach. We need to be active. If it means getting out of a comfort zone, you know, that's what we need to do. If we feel we need to do more, that we're not doing enough. We're never doing enough. There's no question of doing enough. Your spiritual master gives you Krishna. How do you repay that? It's not possible. So whatever we do, we know it's just a fraction of service that we can do. But how to get out there, again, is always association. Obviously, if we're chanting for 40 years and we're still struggling, then it means we should put ourselves with someone that maybe will pull you out of your comfort zone. I mean, I've had God brothers, they travel with different sannyasis for a couple months, a month or two every year. That's taking a big step, right, to try to improve yourself. So if we're serious, we'll do something. We'll latch on to someone that we can hold on to, that brings us along. That's what everyone's doing. Radhanath Swami had 6,500 people there. Why? To get inspiration. And what's he going to do? He's going to try to bring them out of that relaxed, casual, peaceful place. We say Krishna consciousness and a peaceful life, they don't go hand in hand. You've got to take risk. You've got to try to do something. So that means you're going to approach people in some way or another, or you're going to give, even people that work. You know, devotees at their work, they bring Krishna consciousness to their workplace. They distribute prasadam. They'll give little books out to people who are interested. It's just becoming serious. We need to become serious. Prabhupada, when I first became his servant, I told this, we were on our way to India and we were in Bangkok, Thailand. He stayed in a hotel. He asked for hot milk at night. So now these are my first days with him. So I went down 10 stories down the elevator into this basement kitchen in Bangkok, Thailand, asking people I needed hot milk, and they all just looked at me and laughed, you know. So after a few minutes of embarrassment, I went back up. I said, Prabhupada, I can't do it. So Sudama Vipraswami was there. He was very powerful. So he said, I'll take care of it, Prabhupada, just like that. So he went down 5 minutes later, he had a cup of boiling hot milk. Prabhupada smiled. He said, Prabhupada, sometimes you have to be a little aggressive. And Prabhupada looked at him and he looked at me. He said, Shruta Kirti is not serious. Do you know how that made me feel? I wasn't serious. We have to become serious. We don't take no for an answer. Prabhupada never took no for an answer. But again, we have to know how to do things. We have to know. Prabhupada said, you should be able to preach to anyone and they'll be happy when you're done. They won't be upset or annoyed that you spoke to them. Yeah. Vashal Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Did you want to say something? Okay.
Hare Krishna. So, I have a big hearing problem. So, if I misunderstood you in your previous nectarian classes, you said in this class you mentioned that Srila Prabhupada said if you chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulating principles, you go back home, back to Godhead. But also, Prabhupada said many things, and he also said we have to avoid the 10 offenses against the holy name. Could you kindly comment on that?
We have to avoid the 10 offenses. Prabhupada sent a letter once. This was 1973. So one devotee, Brahmacharini at the time, a Mekala, she was cleaning his rooms every day. And Prabhupada stayed there for a month. So a month later, she got a letter from Prabhupada. She never wrote him, but she got one of very few unsolicited responses. So Prabhupada said, it was very short. He said, my dear daughter, thank you very much for cleaning my rooms while I was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. He said, and if you continue in this way and chant your 16 rounds and follow the principles, he said, at the end of this life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So as you say, obviously we have to avoid all the offenses. And it said, you know, we can become Krishna conscious in a moment, or it can take millions of births. The millions of births means if we don't stop making offenses, then we just go on. We can go on chanting. We can go on chanting, life after life. Because at least we're chanting. So yes, we have to avoid the offenses. Prabhupada said so many things under different situations. One of the things Prabhupada said to me was, you can say anything, he said, but don't write it down.
He said, don't say it in writing. So sometimes Prabhupada would say things. Who knows if he knew whether it was being written down or not. He would sometimes just talk to people in his room, give them instructions, give them encouragement. So who can understand? Prabhupada was always encouraging. We say, we chant, we say, repeat the 10 offenses every morning, of course, in being inattentive. So it's always our work to do. Yeah. And we pray. We always have to pray. Very fallen, I'm very fallen. Please pick me up. We pray to the spiritual master, please help me. Engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna.